Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 5. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. At this time, I will direct you to your bulletin insert as we speak together the introit responsively. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and my song. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The sanctuary, O Lord. The Lord will reign. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Let us pray.
Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord for the sunrise comes from Exodus chapter 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, I'll direct your attention to page 12 of your hymnal as we confess together our God-given faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for our next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
It is good that you are here this morning. It is very good, because you are here to celebrate the festival of Easter. The Holy Spirit is the one who has led you here. For what reason? Well, at the very least, it is in keeping with what we hear from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity means that you really believe what you say to believe, that you really believe what you are all about. But God doesn't just stop at sincerity, because all kinds of people believe in sincerity. Muslims believe in sincerity. Buddhists believe in sincerity. Everyone believes in sincerity, honestly. And at the very core of every single person is a set of beliefs that they live their life by. And so sincerity in itself is not enough. No, in order to celebrate the festival of Easter, in order to do it properly, and as God's word would encourage us to, it has to be both sincerity and truth. So why are you here today? I mean, it's Easter, sure, but big deal. Jesus was raised yesterday, too. I mean, this event happened 2,000 years ago, right? I mean, we leave off the alleluias, and we don't say that Christ is risen and all triumphantly until today, because we're trying to teach ourselves through the season of Lent. But the truth is that Jesus has been raised for 2,000 years. So, Easter, sure, but this Sunday really is no better than last Sunday. And is this Sunday really any different than next Sunday will be? Why are you here? Is it because you prefer the 6:30 time slot? Maybe for some of you. Not me personally. Are you here because we get to hear the trumpets? Which, in all honesty, is one of my favorite parts of Easter Sunday. And maybe it's just that, right? Maybe it's just that our Easter celebration is so much more upbeat and joyful and uplifting than any other service of the year. Or maybe it's just because of family tradition. Maybe it just feels wrong for some reason to miss today. Or maybe it's because there's breakfast. There could be any number of reasons, but the truth is that we have to ask ourselves a question. Why are you here on this particular day? Because the answer to that question determines if you are worshiping the festival of Easter in sincerity and truth, or if you are doing so with the evil and malice of the former ways. Now, truth be told, I cannot gaze into any of your hearts. I don't know why you have come here. I don't know why the Holy Spirit made today the day, or 6:30 the time, or whatever the case is. I don't know why you're here. But I do know what the Holy Spirit says. That to worship in sincerity and truth requires repentance and faith. It is those who look into their heart and reflect on their lives, and instead of being filled with all sorts of pride and things to boast about, they see their failures and their shortcomings and their sins. See, the reason that we even have this letter to Corinth is because the people there were boasting in their sin. They were committing all kinds of atrocities, things that we know are just totally despicable today. And yet they were rejoicing in them, and they were boasting in them, and they were excited to be Christians and also to live in this sin on the other hand. And Paul says, this isn't right. You left behind your evil ways. You leave behind the malice. Because Christians ought to recognize their sin and be humbled by it. In fact, this is exactly why God gives us his law. You know, in confirmation, I teach the kids that the short form answer of what the law is designed to show us our sin. It's to make us feel this big. And without the mirror of God's law, we're filled with boasting, which honestly isn't the truth. I mean, we might sincerely boast, but it's not good. It's false. Without God's law, we can convince ourselves that we're pretty good people and we really don't have any need of a Savior. Or if we do need him, I guess we only need him on a part-time basis, which isn't true. Without the law, we can rationalize our sin away and convince ourselves that they are too minuscule. Our sins are too small for God to actually show us any wrath for them, which again isn't true. It only takes one instance of evil or malice. It takes one lapse in judgment, one night of poor choices, one idle word, even one idle thought is enough to send us to eternal condemnation. That's the truth. So where's our boasting now? That's the truth. And so are any of us ready to stand before our God and Lord? See, in sincerity and in truth, God's law, it drives us to our knees over the sorrow that we have for our sin. Because we've missed the mark in so many ways. But this is the best part. Because it's only when we realize our sinfulness, it's only when the law brings us to a point where we have no way to climb our way back to righteousness, not on our own, that the gift of Easter truly shines. We all remember from Good Friday, just a few days ago, that Jesus truly is the sacrifice, the Lamb of God who is slain, and his blood is not spread on our doorposts as in the first Passover, but his blood is spread over us, over our lives, to cover our sin, to announce forgiveness. But what good is it if Jesus stays dead? How can we know that that gift is real if Jesus doesn't come back to life? If he just stays in the tomb, it's as if nothing ever happened on Good Friday. If he just stays in the tomb, it's as if any other man died, because you know what? There were two robbers who were crucified with Jesus. And they didn't come back to life. They were just despicable men who got what they deserved. But not Jesus. No, Jesus' death is different, and we can know that it is a death for us because of what happens on Easter Sunday. In sincerity and in truth, Jesus rises from the dead to show us that he truly does have the power over all of our sins, and he even has the power over death itself. This isn't just pomp and circumstance on Easter morning, one Sunday of the year. This is the truth of God's salvation every single day of our lives. Jesus wins. He wins over sin. He wins over death. He wins over Satan himself. And if you believe this truth, it means that Jesus wins for you. Not simply because it's 6:30, or I guess by now it's 7:07. Not simply because of tradition or family or trumpets, as wonderful as they are, but because all those who gather in faith, all you who have been brought here by the Holy Spirit, Jesus wins for you. His victory is your victory. And because of that, your sins are forgiven. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
See, this is why today it is good that you are here,
to celebrate Easter in sincerity and truth, because we're gathered here for one purpose, and that's to return to the Lord our God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It's to return from death to sin to life in Christ, to receive anew the festal sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and the victory that he earns by rising from the tomb. Today is about satisfying a hunger for righteousness that we cannot have on our own, but one that Jesus freely gives to you. My friends, it is good that you are here, because Jesus is still alive today, and he lives to all eternity. He's in his word preached, he's in the font, he's on the altar. And if you believe that, with all sincerity and with all truth, let us confess together one more time. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Risen and eternal Lord, we come before your Father this day, rejoicing in your resurrection, and praying in confidence for his mercy upon us, and all people as they have need. Blessed Lord, you raised up Jesus Christ from death to show forth the fulfillment of your promise and to assure us that our sins are forgiven, and eternal life has been prepared for us and all believers. Keep us in this holy joy, that in all the days of our trials and troubles, we may remember his triumph and be comforted in all our needs. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have given to us hope and established us in the peace of Christ our Savior. Give also to your church the boldness to speak without fear the message of the cross and empty tomb. Raise up faithful pastors to serve us in your name, and kindle within many a vocation to church work, both here and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you raised up Christ as Lord of life and of death. Deliver the sick from their illness. Give relief to all who suffer. Bestow comfort to the grieving, and keep the dying in perfect peace, that wherever people cry to you, they may know your mercy, and grace is sufficient for their every need. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have bestowed upon us hope beyond imagination, and the promise of our own joyful resurrection with Christ to everlasting life. Accept now our grateful song of praise, and help us by your Holy Spirit to live worthy of the grace of life you have so richly bestowed on us here. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have brought us to this new day of hope and joy through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hinder the work of all enemies of your gospel, so that this Easter message may be proclaimed to all people in every place, and bring many to faith through the preaching of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you bid us come to you with confidence that you will hear and answer the prayers of your people, who pray through the merits and meditation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant to us all things needful, and keep from us all things harmful. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues on page 14. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
You and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated. Our closing hymn is number 192.